If you could please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message today is A Faith That Still Pleases God. A Faith That Still Pleases God. When the Lord put this message on my heart, it was actually from many of Pastor's references that he has, and as of late have really just been pricking at my heart. I had a completely different message lined up about 4 days ago, ready to go, completely done. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this. And the Lord pricked my heart about actually preaching on faith. And so prayerfully as I go through this, more of a teaching lesson than it is a preaching time for us, especially with this group that we have and the time of the week that we are, it'll be a blessing to you as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start right away with verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. I ask for your words to speak. I pray that they're not of my own and that you would just please bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's one thing that God is looking for in your life, it's not perfection, it's not performance, it's not personality, it is faith. Not for just a moment of faith, but a life of faith. Not just faith to get saved, but faith to go, wait, serve, speak, and surrender. Because faith says, "I trust you, Lord, even when I don't understand." One of the things that Megan and I, going about this message and thinking over it, that we've been through in the past 2 years, has faith to come here in this wonderful body of believers that we have here at Madison. Faith to leave a 14-year home church that we grew in as young Christians, that we saw so many life events and tears and joy and you name it that we went through that time, 12 years of ministry, teaching with the teens and being able to have the opportunity to come here. And then the Lord saying, not only are you coming here, but Joe, you're going to be going back and forth to Indianapolis. Faith is not always seeing things that are right in front of you. And had I known what we would have been facing, I probably wouldn't have come here. Truthfully, if my flesh had its way and I knew what God had planned, I know in my heart of hearts that I would have stayed in comfort. I wouldn't have put my family through what we had been able to go through, but God knows, and yet he sustains, and he's grown Megan and I and our children through every step along the way, and we're very grateful for that opportunity, even though tears were shed and there were moments of indecision, and yet God provides. So today we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 4 through 10 to learn what it means to live the kind of faith that pleases God. The Lord laid it on my heart to remind us of something simple but absolutely essential. The greatest way to please God is to trust him. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us once again, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." That word impossible means absolutely unable. It doesn't say it's hard without faith. It says it's impossible. Not because God is harsh, but because he desires something more than religious formality. He wants your heart to trust his hand. We'll walk through the lives of five people whose faith pleased God, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to build that same kind of faith in us. So the first point is, faith is the foundation. And we look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you want to know where faith begins, it starts with foundation. Not feelings, not facts, not formulas. Faith is the foundation under everything we are called to believe, build, and become in Christ. That word substance means something solid beneath the surface, like the footing underneath a house. Faith gives weight, confidence, and structure to our hope. It's not vapor. It's not emotional type. Faith is concrete confidence in what God has said, even when our circumstances haven't caught up yet. Faith is confidence in the invisible. It doesn't mean that we don't fear. It means that we trust God's word over our fear. It's not the absence of questions. It's choosing to say, Lord, I trust you, even when I don't understand. If you could be able to turn to Romans chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 17. Faith is not an emotional high, it's a conviction birthed by the word of God. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This tells us something vital. Faith doesn't come from wishing, it comes from the word. Not from signs, not from feelings, not from spiritual fireworks. If God said it, that settles it. Whether I feel it or not, his word is enough. We can turn back into Hebrews chapter 11, please. Some Christians struggle spiritually because their foundation is built on feelings. God doesn't move when we feel something. He moves when we believe something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is the substance and evidence. It reminds us that faith isn't blind. It's based on the most trustworthy voice in the universe, the voice of God. Without faith as our foundation, we slip into fear, control, or ritual. And while we may look religious, we're not walking in the kind of life that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not because God is harsh, but because he wants more than form. He wants trust. As Paul reminded us to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith isn't about what we see right now. It's about walking according to what God has said. Knowing his promises are more real than our problems. And remember what Jesus said to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's you. When we choose to trust God in the dark, you're living in the way that moves his heart. You're laying down a foundation that the storms cannot shake. Which brings us to point number two. Faith worships God on his terms. Back in our text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. If faith is the foundation, then worship is the fruit of that foundation. But not just any worship, worship on God's terms. Hebrews chapter 4 takes us back to the first recorded act of worship in Scripture. Two brothers, two offerings, two different outcomes. Cain brought what he wanted, and Abel brought what God required. One worship by faith, the other by feelings. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That word means superior in quality, not because Abel's lamb looked better, but because his sacrifice was offered in obedience to God's revealed will. Abel didn't make us worship. He submitted it. He brought what God had asked for, a blood sacrifice. Why blood? Because even from the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, God set a pattern. Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 21. And it says, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. We'll keep our place there. We're going to be going to chapter 4 in just a moment. There was bloodshed for sin. Abel knew that worship must align with God's way, not man's ideas. Faith that pleases God says, Lord, I'll worship you how you told me and not how I feel. If we look at chapter 4 and verse 4, this is where true worship, it isn't creative, it's consecrated. It is not offered based on what we think is good, but based on what God declares holy. So verse 4 of Genesis 4 says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why? Because Cain brought the fruit of the ground, something God never asked for. Cain's offering was sincere, but it wasn't submissive. And sincerity never substitutes for obedience. So if we look at those words broken down, I like going to Strong's definition of the words. And that word, more excellent, means better, surpassing. Back in our text in chapter 11, we could go ahead and turn back there. And that word witness means to testify. Because God declared Abel righteous. Abel's act of faith was not random. It was rooted in God's pattern. And when Abel offered by faith, God took notice. He bore witness, declaring Abel righteous. So in Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, doesn't highlight just a good offering, it highlights the faith behind it. If you could be able to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, this is a verse that many of us are very familiar with, actually two verses. I had a pastor that, while he was going through a time of trial, a time that the Lord had brought him through, a time of indecision like myself, I was counseling with him about what Megan and I were about to do, and whereas he was leading us to come here and live, and he actually shared these verses with me and said, these are your verses, grab onto them. And in your time of trial and indecision, I want you to think about these verses and just rely upon the Lord. So if we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So God is not looking for cleverness in our worship. He's looking for obedient hearts that say, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus confirmed this truth when he said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship that pleases God is not rooted in performance, music, style, or creative flair. It's rooted in truth and walked out by faith. So God is telling us, don't bring your preference, bring your obedience. Don't build your worship around what feels meaningful to you. Build it around what's meaningful to God. Cain's offering looked good, it felt right, but it wasn't what God required. Abel's offering looked messy, costly, bloody, but it honored God's will. So faith says, God, you set the terms. I'll bring the obedience. Let's go ahead and go back to Hebrews if we're not already there. Whatever you're offering to God today, your praise, your giving, your time, bring it on his terms. It may cost you your pride. It may ask you to surrender what you'd rather hold on to. But every time you do, it pleases God. Because real worship says, Lord, I trust you enough to obey you fully. That's going to look different for every single one of us. There's those Christians that we have that we know about that we get letters from that are in persecution. For us, a lot of the times it's the everyday. And that's really what is we need to be able to have. So this brings us to our third point. Faith walks close with God. Let's look at verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony, and he pleased God. Faith doesn't just believe something. It doesn't just offer something. Faith walks with someone. Hebrews chapter 5 introduces us to a man who didn't build an ark, call down fire, or conquer cities. His name was Enoch, and his life wasn't marked by public accomplishment, but by private companionship. Genesis 5:24 says it this way, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And verses 21 through 24. Faith isn't always loud. Sometimes the most pleasing life is the one lived in quiet, daily dependence on God. Hebrews chapter 11 says Enoch had a testimony, meaning a record of agreement. His life was in step with God. He didn't just believe in God, he walked with God. And in verses 21 through 24 of Genesis chapter 5, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. No record of sermons, no monuments, just fellowship with the Father day after day. We often think that faith looks like doing big things. In Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God if you're walking in sin. You can't walk with God if you love the world. You can't walk with God unless you agree with what he said. And Micah 6:8 reminds us, he that he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's Enoch's legacy, humble, joyful, daily communion. Once again, going back to Strong's and looking at those words, translated. The word translated means to carry across, remove, or to transfer. And that word testimony means a witness or confirmed report. God didn't reward Enoch for productivity, but for proximity. Enoch was near. He stayed close. He lived in agreement with God. And one day, God just brought him home. The hardest thing that we always have to ask ourselves, are we taking what we're learning from church and applying it to our lives on a daily basis? Are we saying to the Lord, I want to live for you on a daily basis? I don't want to just do it when I'm sitting in the pew and I feel the love of the Holy Spirit as we're gathered together, when we pray together. There is a filling that happens, a recharge of the batteries when we are here. And sometimes it is convicting when we have to come back into the church doors from how we lived when we are away from them. I don't want that to be for any one of us. But faith isn't just about a moment of belief. It's a life of abiding. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Enoch lived in that presence, and it became the pathway home. God isn't looking for performance. He's looking for fellowship. He doesn't just want Sunday attendance. He wants daily nearness. And we always have to ask ourselves questions. Are we walking with him in prayer? Do we speak with him as a friend? Do our steps reflect intimacy? Faith that pleases God doesn't always look flashy, but it's faithful. It's made in secret places, early mornings, quiet car rides, little moments of surrender. And that's the kind of walk that catches God's attention. It should be a charge to us that we're walking with him on a continual basis. And once again, now to point four, faith that obeys even when it doesn't make sense. This one is convicting and a blessing all at the same time for me. Here we have in verse 7 of chapter 11, back in Hebrews, we're looking at Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house. And by it says also that it says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Faith that pleases God doesn't always look at logical. It often looks foolish to the world or in opposition to them. But obedience is never wasted when it's rooted in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 brings us to Noah, a man who obeyed before there was evidence, believed when no one else understood, and built something the world had never seen. That phrase, things not as seen yet, it's when they had never seen rain before. Just like the unsaved has never seen heaven, doesn't understand a lost world that we have to tell. They have no understanding, and yet we have to be able to tell them. The concept of the global flood would have seemed absurd, but God's word was enough for Noah. Moved with fear means that panic or anxiety, it means holy reverence. Noah didn't build out of dread, he built out of awe. His fear of displeasing God outweighed his fear of displeasing men. Prepared an ark means to construct thoroughly or equip completely. Noah didn't cut corners. He obeyed exactly as God commanded. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." That's faith in action. Let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Noah didn't negotiate. He didn't stall. He didn't say, "Lord, let me see the clouds first." He just started building. Sometimes faith builds when there's no blueprint except God's voice. Sometimes faith hammers boards while the world mocks. Sometimes faith says, "God, I'll trust you, even if it takes 100 years. Faith obeys when it doesn't make sense, because it trusts that God makes no mistakes. James 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Noah didn't just believe in judgment, he acted on it. He didn't just nod in agreement, he lifted a hammer. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. "And while he built, the world laughed. But when the rain came, the only thing that stood between death and life was the obedience of one man's faith. 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. God gave the world time, but only Noah took God seriously. Only Noah's faith translated into action, and his whole house was saved. Faith isn't just sitting on the sidelines. It is taking action. It's believing on what God says and going forth. Missionaries, evangelists, the everyday American, as we're sitting in our homes, the world across the globe, every single one of us have to be able to walk by faith in action, leading our children, praying over them, praying for each and every one of them as we think about that they would not go to the wayside, that they would not become a statistic. It's by faith that we have to be able to believe and to be able to trust God. And it's a fear that I have. I've got a 14-year-old, and here I am. There's parents that have already seen kids grow up and are serving the Lord, and here I have a young family all the way down to three. And so it takes a lot of faith in that aspect of it, a time in my life, a time to think about my daughter marrying some wild man. I hope it's not a wild man, but no man's perfect. Not enough for daddy, at least. So that word moved with fear in Greek means reverent, humble response. The word prepared means fully constructed, thoroughly equipped. Noah didn't wait for public support. He didn't wait for proof. He moved because God spoke, and that was enough. What has God told you to build, speak, serve, or endure, even though others don't see it yet? Faith builds while the skies are clear. Faith witnesses even when no one listens. Faith keeps showing up even when the promises seem delayed. Faith says, I'll keep hammering because God has spoken. And that obedience becomes a visible testimony, even before the first raindrop falls. Some of us are building things. We're raising children, standing strong in marriage, serving quietly in places that no one sees but God. I had the opportunity to be able to talk to a young man that we brought to church with us. That's my brother-in-law's son. And he had no concept of the understanding about what it is to know about who God is. And Megan and I were sharing with him and talking with him about who God is, what it actually means to be able to know him. And he had questions, and he's answering. So if you could pray for him, his name is Xavier, but goes by Z. And here he is, just like so many of our neighbors, so many of the people that God puts into our lives, of people that just need to be able to know, need to be able to understand, need to be told. And yet they're going to come to us with questions that they just have not even come across their mind. We had bus kids that when we were at Wildwood that had no concept of what Easter was for. And here we are in this time and age of a quote unquote Christian nation. We still need to be out there doing the Lord's business. So we're to keep going. We're not to quit. We're to be obedient. Obedient faith never goes unnoticed in heaven. Our fifth point is faith steps without the full map. Faith steps without the full map. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed, and when he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, and the same promise. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is something remarkable about the faith of Abraham. He didn't need clarity. He didn't need comfort. He just needed a word from God. And that was enough. And you look at that phrase of when he was called, it means immediate, active response. Obeyed means attentive, submission. Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't ask for more details. He just said, yes, Lord. Not knowing whether he went, it means that he had no full picture. He didn't know the route. He didn't know the timeline, but he knew the caller. Faith doesn't need a five-year plan. I say that because I do retirement planning. It's very hard for me as a person to be able to look. I look at people's futures 5 years out ahead of them all the time. They come to me, they want to be able to know, what do I do with my IRA? How do I be able to switch it? How am I to be able to look out for tax implications? My brain is wired to be able to plan, to look at. And yet at the same time, we always have to realize God knows in every situation where we are, there are no mistakes before him. And that is how we can have faith, because he is there with us in that aspect. At Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 records that call of Abraham. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God didn't show him everything, but Abraham went anyways. And that's the kind of faith that pleases God. He lived in tents. He built altars. He left security behind and followed God into the unknown. Back in Hebrews, verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham wasn't chasing land. He was seeking a Lord. He didn't need a map because he trusted the master. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Faith that pleases God says, I'll stay in this job, this town, this trial, until you say go. I'll witness to whoever you send, even if I feel unqualified. I'll trust you with this child, this sickness, this silence, because you're God and I'm not. Faith surrenders the route, the timeline, and the control. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it echoes that heart. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Abraham didn't look back at Ur. He pressed forward, even without all the answers. If we look back in Hebrews chapter 11 at a verse that we're looking at, that word obeyed, it means to attentively submit to what's heard. And the word not knowing means without having the full picture or understanding. Faith doesn't need all the answers, it just needs the author and the finisher. And then we all have to ask ourselves to be able to say, are we willing to say, Lord, I'll go where you send me. I'll serve who you give me. I'll stay until you say move. I'll walk by faith and not by sight. If we require perfect clarity for obeying, we're not walking in faith. We're walking in comfort. Abraham's life wasn't easy, but it was eternally anchored. He wasn't looking for earthly comfort. He was looking for a city built by God. And then we have to ask ourselves, where is God calling each and every one of us to trust him? Even if we don't see the full outcome. Is he asking us to be able to stay faithful in a hard place, or for us to be able to step into something unknown? And by doing so, we're not failing, we're following. And just like Abraham, that step of obedience, that allows us to be able to write our name in the story of faith. So as we conclude, a faith that still pleases God, God is not looking for perfection, but he is looking for trust. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But with faith, you can worship like Abel did, walk like Enoch did, build like Noah did, obey like Abraham did. From Abel to Abraham, God hasn't changed, and neither what has pleased him. God is pleased with faith that it submits to his truth, faith that walks in intimacy, faith that obeys without results, faith that goes even without directions, faith stays until his plan is done. Faith is not an emotion, it's an obedient trust in God's word, no matter the cost. Without faith, you cannot please God. You won't worship right. You won't walk right. You won't obey. You won't go when called. But with faith, God will be glorified in your life. I won't have an open call or an invitation or anything like that, but I would like to be able to read what God put in my heart right here. As we close, I want to invite you to not perform, not to promise more effort, but to simply ask the Lord, Father, grow my faith. Teach me to walk in trusting obedience. Help me build what you've called me to, even when it's slow, hard, unseen. He is a faithful God, and he delights in his children who take him at his word. Every one of us has to ask the question, are we living by sight or by faith? Are we waiting for details, or are we saying, yes, Lord, now? Then we have to ask God and say from our heart, I believe you, I trust you, I surrender to wherever, whatever, however, and for however long you want. Because that is the life that pleases God. Has God asked any one of us to be able to do something that you've been waiting to understand before going out and obeying? What has he told you to do? What has he told you to build? What person has he asked you to be able to speak to? Because faith says, Lord, I trust you wherever, whatever, however, for however long, because you are worthy. That is the kind of faith that pleases God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be able to come before you with respect and honor. We want to be able to ask of you to be able to grow our faith, to be able to build us, to be able to anchor us in your word, in your relationship, that you would help each and every one of us, wherever we are in our lives, that you know specifically. Father, come alongside us. We pray, help us to be able to acknowledge you and humble ourselves before you, and help us to be built up and anchored in you, to never turn away. I pray for each and every one of our families. Help us to be able to do what is right as you ask us to. In Jesus' name, amen.